Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always.
Always.
Use your head.
You are now listening to Chair Shot Radio. Always use your head.
Hey, happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome in to another edition of Chair Shot Radio. For everything hockey with myself, Patrick O'Dowd, and the lawyer, my good friend, David Ungar, decked out in all of the Washington regalia today. David, how are we this fine kayfabe Sunday morning?
Doing pretty well, Pat. How are you doing out in your neck of the woods? And
well, it's snowing again.
Is it really?
So we've got that going for us.
Is it really snowing where you're at?
It's New England, so it's always snowing where I'm at. Like, it's kind of in one of those weird in-between sort of weather patterns, though, where like it snows and it rains and it snows and rains and it kind of goes back and forth. Man, I had a brief moment.
That's I wish I could relate. Our weather's 77 next Friday. It's like, God damn it, it's too soon for this.
Boo, sad for you. I had a brief moment of panic while the intro was playing, by the way, because virtual backgrounds, I love them, yet they can also cause some concern when somebody moves too suddenly because you kind of disappear behind the background. I thought you left the chair and I was gonna have a very special solo edition of the Chair Shot Radio, where I would finally get to do that Chair Shot Radio episode where I argue R2-D2 is the most powerful character in the Star Wars universe.
Wow, we're going there. It's early on a Sunday for that.
And then he came back. So not today. Not today. Of course, we will of course be all about the hockey. Do a brief check-in, but we're going to spend a little time going through a couple of the divisions now that we're getting close to halfway through the season, sort of, kind of. There was a big news bite that came out on the 22nd that we want to cover and just share with everyone that I think will do a lot more shaping of the conversation we're going to have today. But we thought we'd talk a little pretenders, contenders within a couple of divisions. I think, Dave, you have some thoughts on your team. I have some thoughts on my team, so we'll cover our own divisions today. And then, of course, we're going to talk about your team sucks. This one's somewhat personal to Dave in the sense that we are going to talk about the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. It's your turn on the chopping block as part of the Your Team Sucks segment. And so
they need to be excited. On the chopping block.
Yeah, they really do. And I can't wait to have that conversation. But before we do that, of course, it's hockey time. We got to talk hockey. And let's get it kicked off with our little intro.
Makes up in playoffs. I'm going to make Wayne Gretzky's head bleed for a super fan number 99 over here.
And with that doorbell, we will open the door into our divisions. We're about halfway through the season. And before we get into that, I just want to start with the NHL on the 22nd released a big press release where they announced the rescheduling of 28 games. Starting on the first one was actually February 18th, so it's already happened. The first one being Tampa Bay at Dallas. Oh, no, sorry. It was originally scheduled for February 18th, is now scheduled for Tuesday, March 2nd. So that's the first go around. And there's this beautiful article that can be found at nhl.com/schedule. And boy, it's going to be a crowded few months, because this reschedule goes all the way into May. There are games as late as May 10th. And there's still some games that they still haven't changed. There's one game, Tampa Bay at Florida, was originally scheduled for May 6th. That's getting changed. We don't know when, but that's still coming. So just COVID, man.
Yeah, it's had a profound impact on the schedule. It's had a profound impact on, well, the world, obviously. That's a no-brainer. But yeah, I think we mentioned it talking amongst each other. There was no way they were going to finish the season on time. And that's pretty much what we've now. I mean, they're going to try. Lots of back-to-backs are coming up. If you know, there's not going to be any downtime. Teams are really, which raises great concerns for me as to my team, as to
right, you just got a guy back, right? And then you just get somebody. Then you get Lundqvist or somebody back, or
well, Lundqvist, he is on the ice, which is remarkable. You're talking a month after open heart surgery. I don't see any realistic way that he plays in an NHL game this year.
I would hope so. I would hope not.
I would love to see him, because it would give, you know, this. I don't know if we're at the point where we're doing our pretenders, contenders, or discussing our teams.
No, not quite yet. Yeah.
Yeah. But I got thoughts.
Well, but you bring up a really legitimate concern, and that's injury. Hockey always impresses me, one, because the land of injury is always like shrouded in mystery, like worse than Bill Belichick and his injury report. Every NHL hockey team, like everybody seems to be limited, right? Like everybody's hurt in some way, but like everybody plays. Rub some ice on it, get out there on, like you got to be like bleeding out your eyes and literally like have the Vader eye pop out of your face, sort of like hemorrhaging on the ice before it's like, okay, you're too hurt to play. But you know, this game exacts a pretty heavy toll. There's going to be a lot of fatigue here for some of these teams, especially if they're playing back to back to back to back to back. And I know they do it in the playoffs, but they still get like, it's usually like two on one off, two on one off, something like that, to where it's not killing them. I think this makes parity feel deeper, right? Like deep teams are the ones that are going to survive this well. Like the Detroit Red Wings of the world aren't going to do it. But like the Tampa Bays of the world, I think, are in a really great place because they're a deep team. Surprisingly enough, the Boston Bruins, the Toronto Maple Leafs, a lot of these like deep teams, they're the ones that I think are going to come out okay on this. The Washington Capitals, I don't know about your depth. The St. Louis Blues, don't know about their depth. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how these teams sort of hold it together and how they play out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're talking back-to-back scenarios, you've got to have goaltending depth. And some teams do.
Yes.
And a lot of teams don't right now. And that's a big problem, because you can't, well, I say you can't just run the same goalie out there every night, but as we've seen for my guys, they don't care about that, which I know we're going to get into in a minute. But
again, it says a lot about your depth, and we can talk about that in a second. But yeah, same thing with the Blues. Like depth and goal, it's okay, but it's not great. I mean, the Blues have been rotating goalies. Bennington doesn't play every weekday. When playoff time comes, it's Bennington's game to play, period. Like that's just it. He's your guy. He got you your cup. You stand on your head in Boston in a game seven, and it's basically yours until you colossally fail. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun. I mean, this is still a sprint, not a marathon, and even more now that you're. I mean, we're not quite halfway, not quite halfway there, but getting close to that halfway point. And you just like we're going to talk about it, but when you look at the standings and teams, they are constantly in motion, the standings with the top four teams.
Oh,
they switch every day nowadays. Like I was just looking at it the other day. It's like, oh, the Kings are in the playoffs. Oh, no, they're not. Yes, they are. No, right. They're not.
Well, let's get to that, because today we're going to cover, we're going to cover two divisions today. We're going to cover our own divisions. So we're going to cover the Mass Mutual East and the Honda West. And we're just going to look at the standings as of Saturday, February 27th. Who would be in out of that division? And so we'll do, I'm going to save you because I feel like you're going to rant a little bit. I'm a little concerned about your blood pressure in regards to the Capitals right now, man.
That's,
but let's look
at
the
medication, Patrick. I take meds for blood pressure.
I take meds too. Did I remember to take my meds? Now that I think about it, I might need to go take my meds. But looking at the Honda West, you talk about movement. Last week when we did this show, the St. Louis Blues were in first. They were at top of the division. And now, here we are a week later, they're in third. They're in third and second/third. They're tied in points with Minnesota having the edge because they have more victories. They've also played three fewer games. That's the other thing is Vegas, who's at the top right now with 23 points, has only played 16 games. They've actually played the fewest games in the division so far. So there's some more game to be played there. But we both, when we did our beginning of the year, we said that Vegas was a team that was for real. And I don't see anything to take me off of that. I think they are still contenders. I think they're a legitimate team. I really wish Alex Pietrangelo was playing for the St. Louis Blues and not the Las Vegas Golden Knights right now. And not that he's having some tear the world down sort of season, but he is a leader and he is a tough, really great player. And the Blues let him go. They lost him. And through no real fault of their own, but they lost one of the best players in the league to a division rival. And I think it pays off. I think it's made a difference for the Blues. Maybe not so much for Vegas, but definitely for the Blues.
Yeah, I think when Pietrangelo went in the offseason, you know, you got to give the Blues a little bit of a pass.
Pietrangelo, what the hell is that? Alex Pietrangelo.
Pietrangelo, thank you. It's still,
Pietrangelo,
it's still early out here, and I haven't had enough coffee. But
Pietrangelo.
I think when he went, when that happened, the Blues and the Knights weren't divisional rivals yet because they realigned after he went. And I wonder if they would have said, hey, we need to do something different if they'd realized that. But as for, I love the West Division. It's been one of the most fun divisions to kind of watch because, like I was talking about, the Kings, who are a pleasant surprise for those of us out in LA, the Kings, the Caps are my team. I'd say the Kings are like my second team because I've lived out here and lived through their two unlikely Stanley Cup runs and lots of friends who are Kings fans. So that's fun to watch. But I really think right now you are seeing the four teams that are going to start to separate at this point. You've got Vegas, Minnesota, St. Louis, and Colorado. Teams we were high on at the beginning of the year. They've got the first four. Yes, the Kings and Arizona are tied technically with Colorado. The Avalanche are the surprise to me that they are in this kind of quagmire that they're in.
Yeah, that was, I mean, Colorado was my pick for the division. And so yeah, I'm a little surprised that
they're 2 points behind. So it's really like I say quagmire, but it's really not. It's just that everything's compressed down. Everybody's grouped together. Right. I do think Colorado separates from the Kings and the Coyotes. I mean, you know, the Coyotes have got to be done playing St. Louis. So it's got to get better for them because the Blues took the measure of them.
It's kind of. But the Blues are like, and here's the thing that we've talked about this when I ran about it. I actually think the Blues are a pretender. Like, I think the Blues are a play to the level of their competition. They are not the same without Alex Pietrangelo. Vladimir Tarasenko hasn't been Vladimir Tarasenko this year. Jordan Binnington's been okay. He hasn't been great. We're in the midst of a 3-game losing streak. Now, I don't think all is doom and gloom. I think they're good enough to compete in the top half of this division, but I don't think they have the depth and the leadership to go all the way to the Stanley Cup. I just don't see it. I don't see it. You know, we haven't talked about Minnesota. Minnesota, the surprise second place team right now in the Central Division. I honestly haven't paid them much mind, and they're going out. They're on a 5-game win streak right now. They basically won all week last week. So to leap way up there, you know, and their goal differential is +12. That's the other thing. When you look at the Blues and why I'm not sold on them, you know, they're 10-8-2. They've got 22 points. They're still a -1 in scoring. Yeah. Like that, you can't hold that.
No.
As a team and expect to be a Stanley Cup contender.
And like you said, Minnesota is sneaky good, that they've just kind of crept up on people and are just taking care of business. And, you know, Vegas is, like you said, they're who we thought they were. Colorado is not who we thought they were so far, but they're right in the conversation. Yeah, I mean, you know, right now it'd be Minnesota against St. Louis in the playoffs, which that'd be a pretty good series. I'm not sure how that one would go down.
Well, Vegas and Colorado would be a good series, too.
Oh, God.
Like, I think, unfortunately, you'd want that as like a conference finals sort of matchup, you know, jealously thinking for myself. But yeah, I would say almost halfway through the season, I think you're right. And I think we're going to move over into the East now. But yeah, I'm not sold. I think that you've got three contenders. I still want to see more out of Minnesota. A 5-game winning streak. Somebody's got hot. I do want to see more there. But again, you're a plus 12. So you're doing something right. And they're 7-3 off of home ice. And that's just ridiculous. 7-3 away from home. That's terrific. You better record on the road than home. You know, they're a game over 500. That's the other thing about the Blues. The Blues are a game under 500 with two ties at home. They're not protecting home ice. And that's with fans. They've brought fans back.
Yeah.
So not sold on that. But let's move over to the East. Boston still surprisingly holding on to that first place. I mean, they're tied with your Caps, who I know you're angry about because you're always angry. Every week, everyone, pulling the curtain back. Every week I get a message from Dave at least twice a week nowadays. Well, the Caps suck again. And then after the game's over, just kidding, they're fine. So let's start with your Caps, man. Are they contenders or pretenders? How do you feel about your Washington Capitals?
I don't know. I can't get a
solid answer.
I know. Good, solid answer. Real definitive. I can't get a feel for these guys yet. I think one of the big problems that I have with the Caps right now is, yes, they've gotten healthy and the goal that Oshie scored the other night. I know they were drawing comparisons to Ovechkin's goal against Arizona in 2006. I'm like, all right, let's not get carried away. That was nice. It wasn't the goal.
There's nothing wrong with a little hyperbole, man.
No, that's true. I think my concern with the Caps is the goaltending depth and what the hell they are actually doing. I don't understand. You've got Craig Anderson, a serviceable backup who's been in the league many years. They actually played him finally. Why they are running Vitek Vanacek out there every single night. And yes, the kid is doing remarkably well, but you know, how does that, you've got Ilya Samsonov, who's, I don't know where the hell he's playing in Hershey right now, getting conditioning. He's supposed to be their number one goalie. That's the reason they let Braden Holtby go to Vancouver, which is looking like a damn good move at this point. But I don't understand the strategy as to why they are running this kid in the ground, unless they're just doing what they can until they get Samsonov back, and then hopefully they can have him for the second half of the season, and he can stay. I say stabilize, but the Caps' goaltending has really not been the problem. Their problem is they get leads and they blow them, and they collapse a little bit too easily like they did against Pittsburgh, and yes, they came back and won that thing, but I'm not sure about the Caps. Here, what I'll say about the East is I think you can remove Boston from the equation. They are a contender. They're not going anywhere. They're going to make the playoffs. Right. They're going to be the number one seed. They are fine. I mean, they had a little bit of a down week. They got routed by the Islanders, I think, or somebody like that.
Yeah.
Put a seven spot on them.
They bit them, yeah.
So,
but we also said the Islanders are good, too. I mean, you got to remember, the Islanders were a step away last year, right?
Yeah.
They didn't make the finals.
No, they got to the conference finals. But I think you remove Boston from the equation, and then you've got Washington, Islanders, Philly, and Pittsburgh. They are going to fight each other for the rest of the season for those final three berths. And I don't... Pittsburgh's the one that I just don't know about. You know, I mean, they if I had to say pretender, Pittsburgh's goaltending concerns me a little bit. Their depth is a little concerning. They've got, you cannot count out Sidney Crosby. You cannot count out Evgeny Malkin. They're good. Philly's surprisingly struggling a bit, and I did not see that coming. I thought they would be better. They're struggling a bit. The Islanders have come on, so... I really, that you can remove the Rangers, Devils, and Buffalo.
Right. The thing about Philly that I find interesting is that they're struggling, but they're generally getting points. You know what I mean? They're a better version of what the St. Louis Blues are, in that they tend to play well enough to get a point to keep themselves in contention. They just don't always win. I'm still so disappointed in the Buffalo Sabres. I thought they would be a better team than they are, and to see them down in the basement. I'm not saying I thought they were going to win the East, but I didn't think they'd be 8-6.
6-8.
You know, or 6-8 and 3, and just abysmal. Like, they can't stop anybody. It's embarrassing.
I mean,
I'm with you. Boston has proven itself in my mind to be for real. Yeah, they've got a little bit of a 2-game losing streak, but I'm done doubting Brad Marchand. I'm sorry. And I hate Boston still. Like, I don't like them as a team, but you can't deny results, and they're getting them.
They are. I mean, the thing about the Rangers, the Devils, and Buffalo is they are all good enough to screw up your plans here and there,
right?
You know, because they've beaten the Caps twice this year. They're just not, none of them are consistent enough to contend. Like, the Devils had, was it last weekend? We're recording, I think, Bandwagon Nerds, and Devils are up 2-0 on the Caps in the second period and lost 4-3. So it's stuff like that, that those three teams are on the upswing. Yes, not going to happen this year, because you are in arguably the most competitive division that there is. And and if you can't be consistent or somewhat consistent, then you're not going to do well. But I mean, if I had to pick right now, I'd say, yeah, you know, the Caps have probably got enough to sneak in, but you got to do better against Pittsburgh. I mean, they're 2-4 against the Penguins this year. That's not going to get the job done. They have single-handedly kept Pittsburgh in the conversation. If they had done their job a couple of those games, Pittsburgh would be just in a lot of trouble right now. So if I have to pick a pretender out of the East right now, I'd probably say Pittsburgh, but that concerns me to say that about our arch rival, because that has bitten us in the ass way too many times.
Don't dismiss him, but it'll be okay. So there you have it, folks. That's going to be this week's little round of hockey talk. Pretenders, contenders for the West and the East divisions. Next week, we will come back with the weirdest division in hockey, the Discover Central. And we'll talk about Canada and how the Canadian teams are doing and who the contenders and pretenders are there.
Before we leave, though, there was another news. What do you think of Montreal firing their coach? Because they kind of went on a little bit of a tailspin, and Claude Julien's out.
It's so hockey, right? Like, this hockey is the one of the few sports where, like, out of the pro sports, it's actually not unheard of for coaches to get canned just middle of the season. Like, if the NFL were to do that, the whole world would be crumbling apart, you know, unless it were the Jets, and we'll get to that in the second half.
3-game losing streak. But you're fired.
But yeah, Craig Berube took over for the Blues in the year they won the Cup midseason. Like, he was a midseason coach, took over. And it's because organizations see opportunity to come. I think it's possible to turn a team around faster in hockey because of the nature of the way points work and the way that you can gain ground if you catch a heater, or at least, you know, get yourself heading in the right direction, even if you don't make the playoffs. If you let somebody go early enough, and we're at about halfway through the season, which is usually when terminations start to happen, we might see a couple more. You know, we might. It's never a surprise. Like, I'm looking at you, Buffalo.
The drought continues.
It really does. So, all right, that's going to do it for us on Hockey Talk today. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then come back and tear down the New York Jets. But before we get to the recorded commercials, it is my sworn duty to remind you that you are listening to Chairshot Radio on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com. And if you like what we're doing here at thechairshot.com, if you like Chairshot Radio, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up a shirt. We have all kinds of great shirts out there for you to choose from. Everything from the OG Chairshot Radio logo or the Chairshot.com logo, forgive me, to various sayings and phrases from our shows, whether that's hashtag journalism, hashtag save, tag team wrestling, the slogan that everyone believes, and that's that everybody hates Craig, Jesus did the job, and his dad was the booker, to some of our different shows out there, our entertainment shows like Bandwagon Nerds and A Winner Is You. Lots of great stuff over there. And every time you buy a shirt, you are contributing to our little network and helping us keep going. And so if you love our content, if you love what we do, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshirt and help us out and help keep us going. And as Christopher Platt would say, please and thank you. Thank you and please. When we come back, your team sucks, the New York Jets edition. You are listening to Chair Shot Radio on thechairshot.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, well, we're back, and you know what time it is. It's time for Your Team Sucks. Ain't that right, Dave?
You suck, you jackass.
Oh, this is a good entry today, for sure. After we destroyed the entire country of Canada a week ago, we're narrowing our focus this week.
Right, we're going to laser in on another... program, another team that thinks it's a storied team, but are they really a storied team? And that is in the New York Jets.
Hell,
J-E-T-S,
no.
Jets, Jets, Jets.
Now, you know, I can say it this week. I was going to say it last week, but I'll say it this week.
Yep.
J-E-T-S, a lot of people will say that that really stands for just end the season.
You suck, you jackass.
So, Dave, you have a little bit of personal history with this. Why don't you share with the listeners your personal history with the New York Jets before I go into why they're the worst NFL franchise out there?
The New York Jets were my dad's favorite team. My father, rest in peace. He was a New York Jets hardcore. I mean, you couldn't talk to him while the New York Jets were on. He was just, he would, I mean, and my folks separated when I was four, but when I was around him, after that, anytime the Jets were on, I mean, he was just, you couldn't talk to him. He was that diehard of a fan. And you think that we trash our teams? Oh, we're amateurs compared to the way my father would trash the New York Jets. And just the stories that he would tell me about everything that was wrong with the Jets. I mean, I heard it weekly. It was just, this is a franchise that, I mean, we're going to get into it, I know, but let's be honest. One Super Bowl appearance. Now, granted, their Super Bowl victory, arguably the most important in the history of football, because it proved that the AFL belonged, and it
true.
Was, and it, you know, was right in the middle of when the merger was going on, and it really, it is probably the biggest upset in Super Bowl history, right up there with the Giants beating the Patriots. Yes, I get that, but what have you done since then? No Super Bowl appearances. A few AFC title games that they shit the bed on multiple times. And then, of course, as we're going to talk about, this was my dad's biggest bitch that he used to have, the 1983 draft and what the New York Jets did there and how that came back to haunt them forever, literally.
So remind our listeners who weren't alive back in 1983, what happened there?
Yeah, for the majority of you then. In 1983, right. The New York Jets had a chance to draft this quarterback from Pittsburgh you guys might have heard of called Dan Marino.
He was pretty good.
Yeah. They opted not to, and they drafted Ken O'Brien, who went on to do absolutely nothing for the New York Jets, while Dan Marino took the Dolphins to a Super Bowl and is a Hall of Famer. And how different might things have been? And I mean, Marino tormented the Jets every chance that he got. It is one of the, and I mean, the Jets have a steady string of shitty draft picks, but none as bad as that one. When you look at it, it's right up there with the whole Sam Bowie, Michael Jordan, colossal screw up.
That was going to be my comp right there. It was like the Sam Bowie decision.
It's on the same level in a different sport. The Jets have just never, since they left Shea and went to the Meadowlands and shared the stadium with the Giants, they have really just not. I mean, a couple things here and there that you can point to. The Rex Ryan years were pretty good. They had an upset of the Patriots and then blew it against Pittsburgh in the title game. But you just look at the Jets. I mean, this is a team that's had a 1-15 record. What did they do this year? 3-13 or something colossally bad?
They were trash. They were awful. And here's my thing about all you need to know about how terrible the Jets franchise is that in recent years, the most famous person associated with that franchise is a dude who's not allowed to go to their games anymore. And that's fireman what's his nuts, who used to do all the cheering and chanting. And then they were like, you're not welcome here anymore. I don't know what the dude did to not be welcome here, but when a fan is your most famous player, quote unquote, that's a problem. The quarterback situation that the Jets have dealt with, and by dealt with, I mean just fucked up over and over and over and over again. Did the Jets have Testaverde for a while? I feel like they were one of the billions of franchises.
They were, and if you remember correctly, there was a year that they had come out, Testaverde had a really strong year, and he was the starting quarterback, and they were picked by a lot of people that year, Patrick. And I don't remember what year it was.
So, yeah, they were a sexy pick. Yeah.
They were a sexy pick to go to the Super Bowl. Testaverde blows out his knee in like the preseason or week one. I still remember Keyshawn Johnson just disconsolate as to what had happened. And that was going to be the Jets' year. But that's who the Jets are. That was your year. Now it's gone. And this is a symptom of a franchise that just is almost cursed at this point. They are right up there with the Browns.
It's been aptitude, though. Yes. Like, you look at that front office and look at what they do. Like, you can't hire a good coach. You can't draft. You don't, it doesn't seem to matter who the general manager is. It doesn't matter. And here's the thing is, I can't even rag on Jets fans because Jets fans are kind of like what you described with your dad. Like, they know they're terrible. One of the biggest Jets fans in the world, is on ESPN, has his own show called Wake Up. It's Mike Greenberg. Yeah. Mike Greenberg hates his team. He knows his team is terrible. He's frustrated with his team. It's a suffering fan base. And so I won't bring down the fans like I will when we get to some of the more successful teams and their insufferable fan bases, but they're just inept. Inept is the word. You know, they live on that memory of Joe Namath guaranteeing victory, that one brilliant game, and that's kind of it.
That's
been it ever since. Flashes in the pan, and you're done. So
yeah.
With a heavy heart, I actually kind of feel bad. This is almost like I feel sorry for you. Your team sucks because, like, your team just sucks because they suck. Like, they could be more. Like, you're in a market where you could be more, but you just won't. You just suck. And so, I'm sorry, New York Jets. Your team, Jets fans, your team sucks.
You suck, you jackass.
Yeah. Dave's nodding. Nothing to add.
I mean, that you just heard it.
It's kind of
you just heard the guy say it. You suck, you jackass. I mean, it's just that's. I mean, it's the Jets. JETS. Just end the season. More often than not, that is the accurate chant. It's just.
Well, it's and in this case, we're just going to end the segment, and move on.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Segment. Yeah, you like that? You like that?
Especially when Sam Darno might be the quarterback for either the Chicago Bears or Washington football team this year.
Oh, God. No. Now we're living on the batshit crazy dream of Russell Wilson. It's hilarious. I'm tired of quarterback rumors.
Thank you, Ray Cash, for doing that.
Fucking Ray Cash. No, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered if Ray Cash would have shared that with me or not, because the Chicago media, like, they leapt all over that fucking report. Are you kidding me? But anyway, that's neither here nor there, because I said we were just going to end the segment, and then we just didn't end the segment. So that'll do it. Who should we pick on next week? It's football, so it's back to baseball.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of you want to do the Phillies? Well,
sure.
We haven't done the Mets yet. Oh,
no, we haven't done the Mets. Who did we do in baseball?
We did the Cubs. The Mets are low hanging fruit. We could do the Mets or the Phils, but the Phillies have a World Series recently.
Like, we're staying on the East Coast, hitting New York.
We can't talk.
I have a story about the Mets. I'll never forgive the Mets for something that wasn't their fault. But that's okay.
Let's go in on the Mets then. Let's stick.
All
with
right.
You.
Well, so
York,
next week,
New York, we're coming after you.
Right. We're just going to hit all the New York teams. So New York, we did the Knicks.
Yeah.
We've done the Knicks and the Jets, and now we're doing the Mets. We really are going after the city of New York, and I guess the state. So next week, that'll be our edition of Your Team Sucks. But here we are at the end of the show. That's going to do it for our edition of Chair Shot Radio. As always, make sure you give a listen to every edition of Chair Shot Radio. We drop every day, 7 days a week, 6 a.m., rotating cast of hosts from all of our different podcasts. It's been a lot of fun. You know what you're going to get out of Dave and I, but you never know what you're going to get out of everybody else, because there's been some great variety, whether it's sharing pieces of their podcast that they do, like some old stuff, whether it's this past week, Greg DeMarco just dropped his four greatest shoot interviews from the WWE, which was a lot of fun to hear. So make sure you give us a listen on Chair Shot Radio. That's going to do it for us. Before we go, Dave, tell everybody where they can find you on the social media and on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
You can find me on Twitter at AttitudeAgg, that is at AttitudeAgg, and on Facebook.com/AttitudeOfAggression. And of course, make sure you're tuning in to Bandwagon Nerds, the 90s project rages on.
That's right. We're covering the top 10 sports movies of the 90s when that drops on Monday, where you can also catch myself. You can also catch me every Wednesday with Greg DeMarco and Miranda Morales on the Babyface Heel podcast. And I solemnly promise that the Nerd Review, I will return to the Nerd Review this week. No more Dave flying solo. Dave understands why I am. I'm pretty curmudgeon-y when it comes to reviewing movies that I don't already either own or have to pay for again. And so that's what happened this week.
Cheap bastard was the word you used to describe yourself. So
I am a cheap bastard, and I am fully willing to embrace that, but I will be back this week when we review Kong Skull Island. So we will be tracking that, and that's one I've not seen. I never watched it, so I'm looking forward to checking that out for the first time, cold turkey. But until then, thank you everyone for listening. Dave and I got to get out of here. Hope y'all have a pleasant Sunday. You've been listening to Chair Shot Radio on the Chair Shot Radio Network as a part of the chairshot.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.